This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. Now, the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, or RCEP, was signed last year by 15 member states to much fanfare. The RCEP creates the largest free trade bloc in the world, covering nearly a third of the global population and 30% of its GDP. Now, China is the first country to ratify the agreement this week. China's Vice Minister for Commerce said it's hoping for early implementation of the agreement from January 1st of 2021.
And RCEP must be ratified by at least six ASEAN countries and three non-ASEAN countries before it can come into effect. However, a recent study published by the Global Development Policy Center of Boston University casts doubt on the benefits of the RCEP for ASEAN as a whole, especially in the wake of the devastating pandemic. The study looks at the potential implications for goods market access following trade liberalization under RCEP.
Now, here's the co-author of the study, Dr. Rashmi Banga, on how the agreement could impact the balance of trade as well as market access for ASEAN.
If you look at the balance of trade pre-RCEP and post-RCEP, the balance of trade of ASEAN as a whole worsens by 6.1%. We also find that almost all ASEAN countries, the balance of trade will worsen. What we find is that because of RCEP, intra-ASEAN trade might be adversely impacted. Imports from other ASEAN countries go down, while imports from China increase in almost all ASEAN countries. It is interesting to note that China's imports from ASEAN countries will go down, but it increases from Japan and Korea. So what you really find is that ASEAN countries are not going to get additional market access into China, while imports from China increase in ASEAN countries. For China, imports increase from Japan and Korea.
That was Dr. Rashmi Banga, Senior Economic Affairs Officer at the UN Nations Trade Agency, who co-authored the study. Now, the findings of the study do run counter to the conventional wisdom as that ASEAN will gain from reducing trade barriers with developed partners. What's the real deal then? Do we win or do we lose from RCEP? For a reaction, we're speaking with Dr. Jayant Menon, Visiting Senior Fellow at the IC's Yusuf Ishak Institute. Good morning, Jayant. Thanks for joining us today. So what do you make of the findings of the study, which showed that ASEAN stands to lose out in terms of market access and reduce its overall balance of trade under RCEP?
These findings are in contrast to most of the other findings that we find out there. Perhaps the reason for the big difference is the details relating to the modeling itself. But I find it surprising because we know that reducing barriers to trade encourages more exports and imports. But since global value chains are involved in the region, they're not necessarily a bad thing that trade, you import more because you do re-export a lot of those goods that are imported. That's the nature of supply chains. Unlike the old days where we made things from start to finish and you competed with other countries that also produce a different version of it. Now, both your importer and your exporter are part of the same production of the one good. And so there's less of that level of competition. It's more interdependent.
According to the study, Malaysia could see its balance of trade fall by more than 30%, which is substantial based on 2019 data. How should we understand this? Is a drop in the balance of trade always negative?
I think the this idea that you need to have a surplus with every country is misplaced. You can't balance your trade with everyone, but the important thing is that your deficit is sustainable in the long term, and that you make up those deficits with surpluses with other countries. I think that's the way to look at it. And deficits are not necessarily good or bad. If they are based on fair rules of trade, then that's what matters to consumers. If some countries are better at producing certain goods, we should be buying those goods from them and selling goods that we are good at making to other countries that want to buy them. So, yeah, so you don't need to balance your trade with every country, nor do you necessarily have a bad outcome because you have a deficit with one, and or a good outcome because you have a surplus with another.
Jaren, the report also highlights that ASEAN countries stand to lose out a lot of tariff revenue from the liberalizations. Again, Malaysia is estimated to be the most impacted, with a potential loss of around 2.2 billion US dollars. That's around 8.8 to 9 billion ringgit. Is this lost revenue for Malaysia?
I'm actually a bit surprised by those numbers because tariffs are already very low in this region. They have been falling for years, and the huge losses they refer to seem a bit unusual to me. But anyway, the main point, though, is that tariffs are not paid by foreigners. They are paid by domestic consumers. They are passed on in the prices of the goods that we purchase and consume. So this idea that they are losing tariff revenue to someone else is misplaced. And this is part of the problem we had with Trump as well, claiming that, you know, he was raising all these monies through tariffs. This was simply not true. He wasn't raising anything from tariffs. He was basically shifting the tax to consumers, and domestic consumers were paying higher prices.
So, Jayant, this study focuses on the goods market. Does this data shed any light on how other areas such as services and FDI might be affected under RCEP?
Yes, I think the problem with this study is that it does focus on goods and final goods. Even for goods, we know that most of the trade is in parts and components. That's one thing. And they already travel duty-free. Through various schemes that are already in place from the WTO, the Information Technology Agreement, and also a lot of duty exemption programs that are already out there. Secondly, you know, as you say, a lot of the benefits will come from other areas like services, like e-commerce, digital trade. RCEP is quite comprehensive in covering all of these new so-called WTO plus areas. And that's where the action really lies now and in the future. Sure, RCEP may not go into it in very great depth, but it hasn't excluded these important new areas. And the benefits from liberalizing these areas will clearly overshadow any impacts on just trade in goods alone.
Do you think the findings of the study provide a basis for Malaysia to reconsider joining RCEP, or are there still net benefits to being part of this huge trade agreement bloc?
One of the problems with an analysis that focuses just on tariffs and on goods is that it ignores the nature of the way trade is conducted these days. It's no longer about tariffs as much as it is about the rules that govern trade. And those things are quite difficult to measure and to simulate in these sorts of models, but they're very real. So, you know, setting the rules upon which, you know, international commercial exchange takes place, is what really matters these days, more so than these sort of technical barriers that we can easily measure like tariffs. Tariffs are already very low. And that's not the issue. It's these opaque non-tariff measures and all kinds of regulatory controls that need to be addressed. RCEP tries to do that by harmonizing these rules and trying to get towards regulatory convergence, whereby it becomes much easier and simpler for goods and services to move across borders. That's what will matter in the end for trade in goods and services. And that's usually not captured by these sorts of detailed analyses of trade and tariffs on goods alone.
Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning, Jayant. That was Jayant Menon, visiting senior fellow at the IC's Yusof Ishak Institute, with his takeaways from a recent study which indicates that Malaysia may really lose out from participating in the RCEP trade agreement. So Jayant had some criticisms as well of the study, and ultimately I think the question is also looking at goods is only part of the picture. So how will we benefit as well from other areas like services still remains to be seen. But right now we are about to head into the 8 o'clock news bulletin, and then after that, the Breakfast Grill, where Kuzu Chuang will be speaking with Paul Harris, Asia Pacific Regional Director at Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.